Oh, how we have missed our friends and family. Oh, how we have missed meeting face to face as God's people, His church. Yeah, Zoom has been a great help for most of us, but don't we really feel for those who haven't even been able to join on Zoom? And yet we have all been able to meet with God, even if alone by ourselves, meeting with Him as we've read His word and as we've prayed. More than that, God has been with us every moment of every day, of every week and every month. Even more than that, God has been in us by His Spirit if we put our trust in Him. But it hasn't always been like that for God's people. There was a time when if anyone wanted to come close to God, they had to go to the temple, to the priests with sacrifices. And there in the temple, the priest would declare sins forgiven and they could pray. There in the temple, and only in the temple, ordinary people could draw a little bit closer to the God of heaven. And that was as close as it was possible for them to come. Well, for over a year, we've been unable to have close contact with friends and family, relatives, brothers, sisters in Christ, but God has been close. God has been in us. Now, as we open this book of Haggai, it is the 29th of August, 520 BC. And the people haven't had any close contact with God for 66 years. Ever since Nebuchadnezzar destroyed their temple and carried them off to exile in Babylon. And there it was that by the rivers of Babylon they sat down and wept as they remembered Zion, as they remembered Jerusalem and the temple and the presence of God. But now King Cyrus and the Persians have defeated Babylon. In fact, that was 18 years ago. And the Jews were allowed to begin to return back to Jerusalem. And although Cyrus was the king of the Persians, God moved his heart to begin to rebuild the temple. He even gave state funding to the rebuilding of the temple. And under Governor Zerubbabel's, what a great name, hey? Under Governor Zerubbabel's, I'll say it again, leadership, rebuilding began. But when the non-Jews saw what was happening, they began to oppose the work. They stirred up trouble and it stopped after just 2 years. Now, as we come to this book of Haggai, the site is just a massive abandoned building site. 16 years worth of weeds and no doubt vandalism have taken their toll. In Tunbridge Wells, we have the cinema site. In Jerusalem, they had the temple site. Perhaps they walked past it every day and shook their heads, as we do, as we walk past Trinity and down that way. Perhaps in the evenings, they went up to their roof terraces and overlooked the site as they had their supper. But then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, the governor, and to Joshua, the high priest. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai again. Is it time for you yourselves to be living in paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in purses with holes in them. You've done so much to try and satisfy your lives. But it's all failed, hasn't it? Life is empty, pointless, frustrating, an endless round of work, eat, sleep. And the people, well, perhaps they replied, yeah, you're right. That's true. Life is so frustrating. Nothing does give us satisfaction. Nothing seems to go right at the moment. And that's why we've not started work on the temple. How can we, when life is so hard and so empty? No matter how hard we work, there's never enough, let alone enough to contribute to the temple. Look, we don't want much, but we do want just a little bit more. And we'll start work when we have just a little bit more. When things have settled down, when the mortgage is paid off, when the kids have grown up a bit, when work calms down, when life's not so hard, when. And all that was true. Life was endlessly frustrating for them. And yet, just imagine the scene. One day, a man called Elam, let's say, invites his mate Bezai over for a drink. Hi, Bezai, come on in. Come through to the lounge. Oh, wow, says Bezai. That panelling, that is incredible. Floor to ceiling on every wall. And it's cedar, isn't it? Yeah, says Elam. And I can tell you it wasn't cheap. We'd seen something similar in Hodai's kitchen. But I tell you what, our builder's been dreadful. Absolutely awful. If you look closely, you'll see the gaps between the panels. And look, some of them are cracked. He's a real bodger. I mean, look here in the sunshine. It's all faded as well. I'm really cross. It is so frustrating. Now, this is what the Lord says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up to the mountain, bring down timber and build this house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but it turned out to be so little. In the midst of constant disappointment and frustration, the people just dug in deeper. They worked harder, they planted more, they drank more, they had the builders back again and again to fix the problems, but the frustrations just mounted and life never seemed to get any better. And they had no idea why it was so. So the Lord explains what is happening there in verse 9. What you brought home, I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord Almighty. Because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with his own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. I called for the drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, the oil, and whatever the ground produces, on people and cattle, and on the labor of your hands. So you see, the frustration that the people are experiencing isn't ultimately due to crop failure or drought or economic depression. No, it's due to the Lord's judgment on their attitude towards him and towards themselves and their own priorities. They've put themselves in the place of God. Their pleasure above his pleasure. Their homes have become their places of worship instead of the temple of the Lord. It's not that they've stopped believing in God. No, they absolutely still believe in him. And they still celebrate Passover and the Feast of Tabernacles and so on. But day by day, week by week, they're living as though he does not exist, as though he's not there. They've forgotten that he is who he is, that he is the Lord Almighty. The Lord who gave them the land on which they build their houses. The Lord who sent them into exile when they rejected him. And the Lord who has now brought them back. But they don't involve him in their decision making. They're too busy decorating their homes, filling their wine cellars, hanging up the new clothes in the wardrobe, working out where to invest their bonus. It's as if the Lord Almighty is an unnecessary luxury as they focus on building their own luxurious lives. And yet, for all their work, they are never satisfied. Someone else always has something that's a little bit better than they have. And they always need just a little bit more. But God is still there, and he is interested. He is still the Lord Almighty, the ruler of all things, of each and every one of them. And he reminds them of this by blowing away all they bring home. He reminds them of his greatness by bringing them all this disappointment. Why is life so empty? Because of my house, which remains a ruin, says the Lord Almighty, while each of you is busy with his own house. Go up to the mountaintops, bring down the timber, and build the house, that I may take pleasure in it and be honored. Put the Lord back where he belongs, front and center, first and foremost. Recapture, if you like, the attitude of King David and the people back then who built the first temple. The first temple, the one that Nebuchadnezzar destroyed. Listen to David's prayer. Who am I, prayed David. Who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, Lord, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things I have given willingly and with honest intent. And now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. What a contrast. What a contrast between that prayer and the situation in Haggai's day. But now it's time to consider our own situation, our own lives, to give careful thought to our own ways today. Yesterday, I had this little advertising leaflet came through. It's from a guy called Nick Wheeler, who's the chief exec of Charles Tirrett Shirts and Jumpers and Men's Clothing. Shirt, jumper, Charles Tirrett. Little advert. But in this little leaflet, I was really fascinated. I was preparing this sermon, and here is what he writes. My life is an endless blur of getting out of bed, eating, working, and getting back into bed. There must be more to life than this. There's the frustration, isn't it? That's exactly what those people back in Haggai's day were experiencing. And perhaps you know that experience too. But why? Why is life like that? After all, you're a believing Christian, and yet life still seems pointless, frustrating, an endless cycle. Well, here's the question that Haggai would ask, isn't it? Is that the Lord's doing? Is he now saying to you, in that frustration, give careful thought to your ways? It is so easy, isn't it? And we all do it, to slip into that small world of home and family and work. And we allow those good, God-given things to become too big, too important, to become the idols we worship. And right now, at this point in time, with lockdown easing tomorrow, it will be very easy to think that meeting up with friends, eating out, going on holiday, shopping and so on will ease the frustration and dissatisfaction of these past months, but you know deep down it will do no such thing. It is so easy, though, to make our plans without reference to God and to satisfy our immediate cravings. And so, this morning, we hear the Lord say to us, give careful thought to your ways. And we want to do that, don't we? We want to take that seriously. But we're not building a temple, are we? I hope you're not building a temple in your back garden anyway. We're not building a temple of stone and wood or gold and bronze like they were. No, because we don't need that kind of building. We don't need any building to draw near to God. We have Jesus. He is the place we meet with God. He is our sacrifice. He is our high priest. And yet, we are called to build a new kind of temple. A temple with him at the center. A temple of people in whom he lives. He calls us to consider our ways and build this house. You, me, us. The St. Peter's Church family. To build it in love and service, in praise and prayer and worship. To build a sanctuary for the hurting, the sinful, the lost, the broken. To provide a safe place where all sorts of people can hear the good news of Jesus Christ, put their trust in him, and join the work of building a new community, a community that is a holy temple, honoring and pleasing to the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Now we'll have to wait until next week to discover how Zerubbabel and the people responded to Haggai's prophecy. But in the meantime, wouldn't it be good if we spent some time giving careful thought to our ways? Perhaps it'd be good to sit down and think about our diary. Actually, open it up on the laptop or the phone, wherever it is you keep your diary. Perhaps even an old-fashioned paper one. Have a look at it. Think back over your shopping habits or forward over your desires. Look at your annual sort of calendar, your pattern of life. Sit down and consider your ways. Sit down and think about the glory of the temple that God is calling us to build. A glorious temple of lives changed into the likeness of Christ himself. So the question for us is, from the Lord, is, are we building our own panelled houses, our own kingdoms, or are we building the house, the kingdom of the Lord Almighty? Let's pray. Our loving Father, it's not easy for us to be honest with ourselves and consider our ways. We just get so sucked in and pulled into a certain sort of rut, a way of living. Father, help us in this coming week to see ourselves as you see us. To see ourselves and our priorities, the use of our gifts and our talents and our time and our money, and help us to consider whether we're using them rightly. Give us some space this week, Father. Give us that motivation to sit down and prayerfully, before you, consider how we're using our lives and what we're building with them. In Jesus' name. Amen.